T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time, and we're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's a new week, and we're on to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. But it's Monday, March 25th, 2024. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning99. Connor, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was a tough weekend.
A lot of basketball?
A lot of basketball, but I caught a stomach bug, and that's never fun.
Okay, so you had more time. Let's see. What new came out? Did you get to watch Roadhouse on Amazon Prime?
I did not watch Roadhouse.
You took in some movies.
I did watch a good bit of movies. I did not watch Roadhouse. I did watch the new X-Men series, which was sick. Absolutely ripped.
I hear great. It's very good. Storyline phenomenal. I hear The animation's a little weird.
No, I don't agree with that at all. I thought the animation was great.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I haven't checked out Roadhouse yet. I've heard bad things. So I haven't checked it out.
The original's
fantastic.
It's a cult classic as is, right? So just go into it knowing that. I watched it.
I've heard McGregor's just insane.
He's not a good actor.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Not a good actor.
I'm shocked.
And it definitely brought down the performance of Jake Gyllenhaal in it as well. It was wild.
He's no Swayze.
It's a lot. It was a whole lot. But it ripped, man, from an action point of view. I mean, I can't lie about that. I mean, storyline kind of, it is what it is. It's just a little, it's far-fetched as is. But action's phenomenal.
Watch list. I probably won't watch it.
Yeah, and then the fight scenes, fine.
Did he rip a guy's throat out?
No, he did not rip a guy's throat out.
One star.
He did.
One star.
He did punch a guy in the throat and said, "Hey, your trachea is snapped."
Was the prison line in the movie that we can't say on air?
No.
Boo! 1.5 stars.
Wow. Okay.
Terrible.
All right. You don't have
those two things, I'm out.
All right. Well, 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We'll have some NCAA tournament to talk about, a lot of NCAA tournament to talk about. We're on to the Sweet 16. And, Connor, you mentioned this in our pre-show meeting, and everybody's noticing it. It is very chalky. 1 and 2 from each region is on to the Sweet 16, the 1 seed and 2 seed. So that's just where we're at this particular moment. Lowest seed is NC State at 11, and I do love that because DJ Burns is phenomenal to watch. One thing I was hoping we would get, and if Colorado would have beat Marquette, we would have got it. Eddie Lampkin versus DJ Burns would have been phenomenal. The first post up would have been, it would have registered on the Richter scale.
Seismic activity.
Yes, it would have been phenomenal.
We would have lost the state of California to an earthquake.
But Colorado ended up losing by 4, so NC State moves on to play Marquette. But we will talk about the NCAA tournament and everything that goes with it, the Jack Golke experience being over, but his experience with the NCAA tournament and everything that came with it, he set the record for threes in the first two games of the NCAA tournament with 15. He's doing well for himself now because of what he was able to do with that win over Kentucky and ultimately playing close in the second round. But we'll discuss all of that. Kim Mulkey On the women's side, this is what she does. This is what she does. When bad things are going to get posted about her, she either threatens to fire some, try to get somebody fired, or she threatens to sue. But she has gone after the Washington Post. She had a very strongly worded message for the Washington Post while they while she tries to will LSU to a Final Four and ultimately to back-to-back championships. But I mean, her threat, and I'm gonna, you know, sort of put it out there before I give you all the reasons why, her threat just comes up empty in so many different ways. And I feel like there's a lack of understanding on her side about media law and defamation and libel. But I'll tell you all of the details. We'll get into the nitty-gritty here at the bottom of this hour. As far as guests are concerned, Jeff Calkins will join from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show. And then at 6 o'clock, that'll be at 5, by the way, Jeff, as he normally is, to start the second hour. And then 6 o'clock to start the third hour, Trevor Lane will join. Covers the NBA for the Front Office Show with Keith Smith. He also is a host for Lakers Nation. We'll talk about the Western Conference, the Grizzlies, where they're going to stand by the end of the year as far as the NBA draft lottery. Talk about sort of what we can expect down the stretch. The Western Conference is nuts right now, Connor. And the Houston Rockets are right on the heels of the Golden State Warriors. Now, the Golden State Warriors have a really easy schedule remaining, and the Rockets, I think, are top half right now. But the Rockets won 8 straight, and Jalen Green is playing really insanely good ball. He had 41 points over the weekend and a 147-119 win over the Jazz. And he's had a couple of 40-point performances as of late, and he's shooting actually efficiently, which is insane to think about with Jalen Green. That's never happened in his career, but he's playing really, really well, and the Rockets are following suit there as well. We'll talk about the Grizzlies. They did have one win over the weekend. And it was an ISO situation where they beat the Spurs. ISO situation for Jaren Jackson Jr. to win the game. Victor Wembanyama was phenomenal, but Jaren put the finishing touches on that one, 99-97, kind of a throwback.
Hell yeah.
Old school, nasty little game. But 99-97, Jaren got them over top. They play tonight at 8, and I have a feeling against the Nuggets on the road, they're going to get absolutely smacked. Did you see the line?
I did not. Is it double digits?
14.5.
Yeah.
I don't see this going well for the Grizzlies.
Probably not. They're going to fight hard. We know that they will, but it's the Nuggets.
But there is a there's a notable switch of designation in the injury report, on the injury report. And it has to do with Brandon Clark. So that's going to be an interesting thing to discuss as we get to the latter half of the show. Titans ended up trading for L'Jarius Sneed. So that was a good move. We'll talk about that in the Blitz at 6:30, then we'll rewind at 6:50. Now, into the NCAA tournament. I want to start with the Jack Golke experience being over. That's sad. It's sad to see him knocked out. But they fought valiantly. They fought valiantly. I will give them that. They got into that second round matchup against NC State. They got to overtime with NC State. They just couldn't get over top. DJ Burns was too much to handle. He ended up having 24-11. Jack Golke in that game was still pretty good. 22 points, 6-for-17. He had 6 threes in that game. 15 threes. It is the record through 2 games in the NCAA tournament. But that's not really what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about the fact that not 10 seconds after he left the floor against Kentucky and not 10 seconds after he left the floor against NC State, he got flooded with opportunities for NIL money before he's done at Oakland. And that's awesome to see. He had a TurboTax deal, and he also ended up getting a Buffalo Wild Wings deal. And he was actually explaining this to the guys, pardon my take, guys over at Barstool Sports. They're asking him, like, how quick did you have to set this up? Did you have to talk to these people to be able to get this money? Apparently, 2 of his friends that are not even on the basketball team set up an email for him, a business email for him. They fielded all the offers, and then he had to do all the videos when he was in the, you know, ballroom, wherever they were staying. But that's a fun story. That's what this tournament is about, to see guys like Jack Golke just capitalize on their opportunities and show the world who they are. And ultimately, he made it out of there with a whole lot of money. He made it out of there. He's a fifth-year guy. He's going to move on, probably not play any more basketball the rest of his career. I don't see him as a professional, certainly not in the NBA. I don't think overseas is going to accept him as that either. He does shoot the three ball well, so we'll see how it all works out. But a guy that's a fifth-year transfer from D2 ends up capitalizing on NIL in his final days as a collegiate athlete. That's fun.
He's going to be making car commercials or insurance commercials using this year for his entire life. No, it's awesome. This is exactly what NIL was set up for. It's one of the reasons the NCAA tournament is so much fun is that usually a people's champion arises. Unfortunately, one people's champ had to knock out the other people's champ because DJ Burns has taken back the title of people's champ. I will say, do you think Trey Townsend's like, I dropped 30-13. Where's my Buffalo Wild Wings deal? Like, is it because we lost? I do think that it's probably funny that the other guy that put up 30 on the team's
the
like,
best player on the team.
He's like, where's my deal? He's like,
the best player on the
team. I could have gone 6-17 from three.
That absolutely kept them in that NC State game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The one that was actually doing the work.
I get it. I think he's and somebody's going to have to go check up. You may have to check up the details on this. I'm pretty sure he is a legacy at Oakland.
Trey Townsend?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think he's a legacy at Oakland.
So maybe, maybe his performance.
I think his dad went there as well, that type of thing. So I think he's a legacy there. So, I mean, you'll wish he'd get something alongside Jack Golke. But Jack Golke's just an interesting story, a D2 transfer who just sort of found his way. He was at Hillsdale College, sets the record for three-pointers made through two games. I mean, it's just the stories that people
want to watch. It was off. And he took down Kentucky.
And he's not athletic. And there's nothing about his game that translates that does anything for you besides his just three-point spot-up shooting. I mean, those are the stories that people run away with. The unathletic white guy who takes down Kentucky somehow gets a whole lot more love than the guy who's actually probably the better player and more consistent player.
But he's a hero across the country.
It is what it is. Let's see. What else stuck out? Yesterday, Jacoby Walter and that Baylor game. That was down the stretch, we had some decent games. Clemson versus Baylor was solid. But Jacoby Walter, that was tough to watch. Missed two free throws at the free throw line that would have tied the game at 66 with 36 seconds left. And then ultimately he let go of the rope. And he was terrible at the free throw line. That is not like him. I think he's an 86% free throw shooter. He went 5-for-11 from the line. And that ultimately, like, you just look at that. If he would have shot 86%, they likely win that game yesterday with how they were trending in the last few minutes of that game to come back against Clemson. But no cigar there. A&M versus Houston.
That was awesome.
That was a great game. And honestly, for me, it felt like that old school 15-round boxing match. They used to do 15 rounds. They put it down to 12 because it was too long. But effort, defense, physicality. What you saw was Houston made more shots, but A&M had more second chances. They killed Houston on the board. Just absolutely killed them. They had 26 offensive boards. And really, it came down to who's going to blink first. Houston led by 12, though, with 2 minutes to play. And by the end of the game, you had Anderson Garcia tie the game at 86, sent it to overtime. And that was only his 20th attempt all year. He's their starting center for A&M. But during that time, you feel like A&M had an opportunity to pull it off, right? Because Houston, during that game, had L.J. Crier, Emmanuel Sharp, Jamal Shedd, and Javier Francis all foul out. So you thought they had a chance, but to keep us from feeling that way, Houston has a way about them. They just have a good culture, and Kelvin Sampson and whoever is on that bench, they can find a damn way. And, of course, a 6-1 walk-on senior and Ryan Elvin had to come in and hit one of two free throws to ice the game for Houston to make us realize that Houston is just a machine. They're an absolute machine. But, like, I'm just trying to, like, think of teams around the country that I think could have accomplished what Houston did yesterday. Gave up 26 offensive rebounds, 45 free throws, four starters fouled out, and they still won. Like, they're the first team to have four players fouled out and win an NCAA tournament game since the 80s.
You just took the words out of my mouth. That was going to be what I said.
I don't know of any other team in America that could do that. And it's just a testament to what we always talk about with Kelvin Sampson. The culture that's built up, the trust he puts in his guys, it's second to none in college basketball, and that's why they transition to one of the best basketball conferences in America in the Big 12 and win the regular season title like they did.
This four-year class is 125-18.
It's nuts.
That's crazy. And Kelvin Sampson, is 22-1 against Texas A&M. And then just whoops them.
And whoops them. You know, they've had to deal with something like the Reggie Chaney death. That was very tough. And Jamal Shedd said after the game, like, I know that he would have grinded through this game and pointed to that 23 on his uniform. And, like, that's just – they've had to deal with some things, but they always find a way in the end of the day, regardless of what sort of presents to them. I mean, they had – those guys that fouled out, I think all of them had two fouls at halftime. And really, it was just a physical game all the way through.
Well, it was that 17-5 run that A&M went on. It's like it just shocked Houston. Like, they didn't know what to do. They just kept getting punched in the face. They were like, wait a second, we thought this game was done. And then all of a sudden, it was a knife fight.
Now that I've said all that, I do have to – I want to talk about Wade Taylor. I want to talk about Wade Taylor.
Okay.
That was certainly a watch, right? Like, that was something. His performance against Houston – and I know that he's not, like, the most efficient scorer. I think he's shooting 36% from the field and 32% from three, even though he's one of their leading scorers for A&M. But that was horrible.
I mean, he...
And I don't want to go after... I'm not in the business of going after, you know, collegiate athletes, especially in these type of moments. It's a tough moment. He knew that he had to bring a certain level of production to go win a game against Houston, win a game against the number one seed. But 5-for-26 from the field, 3-for-13 from three. He rushed that final play
100%
of regulation. He missed the first one. They got the offensive rebound. He sprints out. There's 6 seconds left. Sprints out to the three-point line. Doesn't actually get behind the three-point line and just clanks it. It was ugly as hell. And then his final shot of this tournament in overtime, they're down 97-93, A&M is. And there's 25 seconds left, I think still 25 seconds left on the shot clock. Shot clock and game clock were about at the same moments. His final shot was a pull-up logo three that airballed with 25 seconds left on the shot clock when they're down 97-93. That was a tough watch all day. And, I you know, he was probably pressing, thinking he had to do more than what he has all year to go beat Houston. But he was ultimately the reason that I look back at that A&M team. I think they're a talented team. I know that the Tigers were able to beat them earlier in the year. But I think he's ultimately the reason that they came up short in that game. You had Houston with their backs against the wall, and he gave them some gifts.
He certainly, yes. There were a few moments where, I mean, it kind of happened against the Tigers too, honestly. Like when they were playing the Tigers. I remember A&M took so many shots that were just bad shots down the stretch of the game against the Tigers, and it kept Memphis in it, but it also allowed them to hang on to their lead, and that's kind of what they did with Houston. It's when you're 5-for-26 and 3-of-13 from three, pass the ball.
Yeah, get it
pass
out of your
the ball,
hands,
dude, or
man.
Stop taking threes. Like, you can keep shooting, that's fine. He got to the free throw line okay. I think he had like 9 or 10 free throws. But, dude, drive the ball or try to take a elbow jumper. Stop shooting threes when you're 3-for-13 in a game that you must win. There's no other game after this. You have to win this game, and you've just
but
chunking
97-93 with 25 seconds on the shot clock. It's
awful.
Like, buddy, take it to the rim. Get a two-pointer. You have time on the clock. Try to get a good look, and he took the worst possible shot he could have in that entire situation.
It was actually the worst shot.
It literally was the worst shot. Early in the shot clock, heaving up a three that's relatively uncontested from the logo when you're 3-for-12 up to that point from the three-point line.
He heat checked himself.
When he did that, when he wasn't hot.
At that point, right. He was 2-of-12, or he was 3-of-12 and said, I know what I'm going to do.
I just was watching. I'm like, damn, brother. Like, I understand this is a big game. I understand you want to will your team to victory, but it ain't working for you.
I mean, their whole team shot bad, though.
Like, no,
100%. To be fair to him, the entire team shot very poorly.
100%. There was 30-some-odd percent from the field.
38%.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, not great.
They almost shot better from three than they did the field, actually.
Not great. But that was the final game there in Memphis. I'm glad that, because the first day.
Couple stinkers.
There were some stinkers.
Yeah.
There were some really bad stinkers. Obviously, the Clemson-Baylor game, Baylor fought back, and that was a little more interesting. But that Houston A&M game definitely highlighted the weekend here in Memphis at FedEx Forum. And I'm glad the fans got to see something, because that first day was miserable. That first day was a bunch of 20-point wins.
Well, and because, like, Nebraska A&M, you thought was going to be a good game, and then turned into a blowout.
Was
it
16 points?
They should have never let Rule in the building.
Yeah. Golly. And I thought it was also interesting
Shout out to the Nebraska fans, though.
Clemson AD sitting next to the ACC commissioner while they have ongoing litigation. Fun side storyline. Sitting directly next to him. I didn't really hear. I didn't see from a bunch of media members if they really actually exchanged words, but he had to sit directly next to his commissioner, who he is not a big fan of right now, and I can't imagine, that works both ways. They're not in cahoots. They're not very happy
they're
with each other
cahoots.
Right now. Now, we're on to the Sweet 16. Thus far, Big East 6-0, ACC 8-1, Pac-12 6-3, Big Ten 6-4, Big 12 7-6, SEC is being held up. They're 5-6, but they're being held up by Tennessee and Alabama at this moment. And then Mountain West 4-5. And then outside of that, West Coast Conference 2-1, A-10 2-2, AAC 0-2. So there's that. We have on Thursday.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Today we'll have Clemson, Arizona, San Diego State and UConn. Sorry, a rematch of last year's national championship game. Then we'll have Alabama, North Carolina, Illinois and Iowa State, and then on that Friday, NC State versus Marquette. I still wish we would have gotten to see Eddie Lampkin versus DJ Burns, but Marquette is a very good team, and Tyler Kolek has 11 assists, 22 assists through two games. That's pretty damn good. The Zags versus Purdue will be on that Friday, and then we will have Duke versus Houston and Creighton versus Tennessee. One of the highlights of this entire weekend, I think, will be Thursday. I am very, very interested to see Illinois versus Iowa State. The reason I say that is because if you go look at KenPom metrics, adjusted offense, adjusted defense, Illinois is number one in KenPom. In defense, Iowa State is number one offensively. Something's got to give. Something's got to give, Connor, right, in that one. But that will be the late game on that Thursday. But it's been chalky. In the East, you have seeds 1, 2, 3, and 5. In the West, you have seeds 1, 2, 4, and 6. In the South, you have 1, 2, 4, and then 11. That's the lowest seed that got in. And then Midwest, 1, 2, 3, and 5. And also, I mentioned the KenPom and that matchup with Illinois and Iowa State. KenPom I know that sometimes, especially this year when we're watching this Memphis team that ultimately faltered, we were looking at these metrics. We're like, what the hell's going on? These predictive metrics, KenPom, Bart Torvik, the Nets a little different. That's not as predictive. It's just about your resume. But we look at these predictive metrics and we're like, why are certain teams so low, certain teams so high? As much as you want to second guess the predictive metrics, KenPom, 13 of the top 14 in KenPom are in the Sweet 16. The only teams outside of the top 14 are San Diego State at 20, Clemson at 23, and NC State at 52. And even if you did this pre-tournament, like the pre-tournament rankings coming into the tournament, the predictive metric worked for KenPom. KenPom would have had 12 of the top 13 end up getting to the Sweet 16 if you did this pre-tournament. So we have this tendency to sort of throw these predictive metrics to the wolves. We don't really like them, but they're pretty damn good. And you do have to ask yourself the question, with the net coming into question by more, you know, higher ups and certain conference commissioners, people like that, you wonder if KenPom may sort of step up the totem pole as a more official metric for college basketball and the committee by the time we get to Selection Sundays in the future.
Those are pretty good results. My question for you is, though, as the board sits now, as the bracket is your favorite still your favorite?
Ooh, I think my favorites are exactly who I would have had previously, and I like Purdue and UConn.
Yep.
They have rolled whoever they've played. That Purdue game against Utah State was not even ever.
It was a bloodbath.
106-67.
It was a bloodbath.
And then UConn's rolling just as well, man. I mean, over Northwestern. Northwestern's been playing good ball, but 75-58. And I do have to say, if you're a Donovan Clingan fan, if you're a Grizzlies fan and you like Donovan Clingan, he proved it to you through the first two games. That's my guy.
Future Memphis Grizzly, Donovan Clingan.
He looks damn good, and he does move really well. That first game against Stetson, 20 minutes, 19-8, and he had 4 assists. He can pass out of the post as well. Like, that's one thing. He does not put his head down and just try to get to the rim. He is offensively inclined. He has some post moves, but he can be a mover and a connector if you want him to. But then against Northwestern, he was just bigger and better than anybody they could put up against him, 14-14. In 27 minutes. I love him. I love him a whole lot. Now, and I think that the foot thing has always been the scare, but it sounds like it's not anything structural with his bones. It's about just, you know, day-to-day dealing with the issues in his foot. It's more tendon and muscle-related than anything that has to do with structure,
yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. And the odds right now for the championship, right now it is UConn is at plus 210, Houston's plus 500, Purdue's plus 600, and Arizona is in fourth at plus 900. And then you can get North Carolina at 11-1. So I would say, you know, I still think I agree with you. UConn and Purdue, I would be surprised if we didn't see them in the national championship game.
Couple of final things, because I saw some quotes and some sounds that I wanted to play from the weekend. Michigan State played North Carolina in the second round, and I think a lot of people gave Michigan State, the nod. They thought that this could be a nice upset for them. By the end of the game, North Carolina took off, and they ended up winning 85-69. But Tom Izzo, we know he has the most wins in NCAA tournament history as a lower seed. We know that he has the one championship. We know that he consistently makes the tournament 26 times in a row. 26 times in a row. But if I was a Michigan State fan, hearing him after that loss, I would have wanted to run through a wall. This is what Tom Izzo said directly following the North Carolina loss.
I'm getting back to a deeper run in this tournament, or I'm going to die trying.
Or I'm going to die trying. And, buddy, I'm not going to say you're going to die trying, but you're getting up there in age, aren't you? You're getting pretty damn old. I mean, he's 69 years old. He's going to be 70 by the time we hit season next year. Like, you don't know how long guys like this want to keep doing it, but hearing that from him, like that competitor in him, that competitive fire, even at 70 years old, is way too alive. Right, we had Coach K move on. We had Jim Boeheim move on. We had Roy Williams move on. We have all these coaches, legendary coaches, that have won national championships. They're ready, and they've gone off into the sunset. You figured Tom Izzo would be one of those next guys in line, but hearing that, Connor, it doesn't seem like he's going anywhere anytime soon.
No, it definitely doesn't. You sound like the Godfather right there.
Yes.
I'm coming back.
And then the other thing, and here's what I'll say about this sound. This is going to be Matt Painter. And he was asked a question about Zach Edey and criticism on Zach Edey, where you have like first name bunch of numbers on Twitter saying, well, he's just good because he's 7'4". He's just good because he's tall. Now, the person who asked the question, I thought it was kind of an unfair question because I don't think there's a lot of media members that question how good Zach Edey is. He's going to be the 2-time player of the year in college basketball. He's the most known men's college basketball player at this particular moment. But I thought it was a fun response, so let's go ahead and play. This was Matt Painter talking about Zach Edey.
You see people, you know, around the country, even, you know, fans, but even people that cover the game say he's just tall. What would you say to the people that say that, that are only looking at the size and not just the game?
Yeah, they just shouldn't cover basketball. Yeah, you know. And so, like, you go to school and you learn things or whatever, but we all don't like every single class we're in, right? It's kind of a necessary evil. It's like going to work. Like, you don't like everybody you work with, or you don't like certain parts of your job, and, you know, it's tough, right? You got to be able to deal with, like, certain things that are difficult. And so I just think everybody should, like, take tests on their knowledge of what they're doing. Like, I think all coaches should take a test so they understand refereeing, and I think all referees should take a test so they understand coaching, and I think all journalists should have to take a basketball quiz or a test, or anybody that tweets, they should have to be able to do it. And if they say something so moronic as that, then they should have to have a probationary status where they can't tweet for like 3 months. I think it'll help like society, you know, like just try to knock out the fools, you know, so they don't have to, you know, meet at the local Walmart and say things that don't make any sense.
Write it into law. Write it into law.
Write
it into law.
Listen,
right now.
I don't even agree with like the why this came about, like the whole answer. I don't agree with the question.
No, it's a silly question.
It's silly, but it did bring about a good answer. I do think it would help society if we had probationary periods on social media for people that say dumb things.
Yeah.
Because what I have found, because I saw like Antonio Brown's doing this right now with the CTE ESPN, and like some of the things he posts are hilarious, and I like it's funny, and people are latching on to it, and I'm now seeing it like be profitable. Like I'm seeing this CTE ESPN where he's making fun of people. I saw like there's a CTE ESPN Memphis, right? There's a CTE ESPN in all these different cities. People are starting to take these accounts and run with them, and I think we're at a point in society where. You're familiar with S-posting, and I'm not going to say the word because I cannot say it.
Please don't. I don't want to have to hit this button.
FCC regulations, but S-posting. I think people understand what I'm saying. And S-posting is basically you're just trolling. You're not putting out information. You're taking information and making fun of it and
your
making light of it.
Yeah.
It is profitable, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's way too profitable. Our society has devolved to where that type of content is becoming king. And I think Barstool Sports has their hand in it. I think there's a lot of different somewhat media conglomerates that have their hand in it. But you're seeing it. And I think that, you know, I know I'm making a mountain out of mole here with what Matt Painter is saying, but I think there's some truth. I think if you did have that probationary period, we would have a little bit better society from an information standpoint.
Yeah. I just want it so I can have in my Twitter bio certified ball knower.
Yes.
I want to have a certificate that says I passed the test. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, today, there's a conversation happening. I think Mad Dog went on ESPN or one of the shows and said, UConn could make the play-in in the NBA. No, the hell they couldn't. They would go 0-82, and they probably lose every game they played in the G League. No way in hell is that possible. Just like stuff like that, probation. You can't be on the show for like a month.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting bad out here.
It is getting bad.
It's been bad for a while, but it's getting worse.
What'd you say about Dune Part 2? Probation.
Yeah. I hear you. One of the questions on the basketball quiz needs to be, because I've seen a lot of people that claim to know basketball not know where the nail is. You know where the nail is? Right there at the free throw line? The nail.
This feels like a trap.
Well, whatever. I don't think this is ever going to happen, but we need to have people actually understand what they're looking at, okay. What they're talking about.
I was real scared of it. I thought you were going to say
But either way, we do have the Sweet 16 coming up, and I know a lot of people's brackets are busted, but you can say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tournament. Whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets with if your first $5 bet wins. That's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who's going to win it all. Visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K. And bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Now, we have talked just about everything under the sun when it comes to the men's tournament, and we will get back to it here relatively soon. But women's tournament is being marred by a little bit of controversy because we have a team who won the national championship last year and a coach in Kim Mulkey who is going after the Washington Post. We will play the sound when we come back, and then I think it's worth discussing. There's a story she does not want published by the Washington Post, and she made that abundantly clear. So we'll be right back. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. In the women's tournament, it looks like LSU, they're trying to go ahead and repeat. They just beat Middle Tennessee State. They ran away in the fourth quarter over the weekend, and they got over top. They will be going to the Sweet 16 in the women's bracket. Now, before that Middle Tennessee State game, Kim Mulkey, who's the head coach, who's been marred in controversy having to do with Brittany Griner back in the day when she was winning championships at Baylor, or, you know, earlier this year with Angel Reese and why, you know, her unexplained absence. She went after the media because they were asking a bunch of questions of why Angel Reese was out. But she stepped up to the podium before that Middle Tennessee State game, and she went after a certain reporter at the Washington Post who is planning on dropping a story about her relatively soon. We'll go ahead and play the clip. Stick around because it's a relatively long clip, but there's a lot to be discussed afterwards.
This reporter has been working on a story about me for 2 years. After 2 years of trying to get me to sit with him for an interview, he contacts LSU on Tuesday as we were getting ready for the first round game of this tournament with more than a dozen questions, demanding a response by Thursday, right before we're scheduled to tip off. Are you kidding me? This was a ridiculous deadline that LSU and I could not possibly meet, and the reporter knew it. It was just an attempt to prevent me from commenting and an attempt to distract us from this tournament. It ain't gonna work, buddy.
It worked.
Unfortunately, this is part of a pattern that goes back years. I told this reporter 2 years ago that I didn't appreciate the hit job he wrote on Brian Kelly, and that's why I wasn't going to do an interview with him. After that, the reporter called two former college coaches of mine and left multiple messages that he was with me in Baton Rouge to get them to call him back, trying to trick these coaches into believing that I was working with the Washington Post on a story. When my former coaches spoke to him and found out that I wasn't talking with the reporter, they were just distraught. And they felt completely misled. Former players have told me that the Washington Post has contacted them and offered to let them be anonymous in a story if they'll say negative things about me. The Washington Post has called former disgruntled players to get negative quotes to include in their story. They're ignoring the 40 plus years of positive stories that people or they have heard from people about me. But you see, reporters who give a megaphone to a one-sided embellished version of things aren't trying to tell the truth. They're trying to sell newspapers and feed the click machine. This is exactly why people don't trust journalists and the media anymore. It's these kinds of sleazy tactics and hatchet jobs that people are just tired of. I'm fed up, and I'm not going to let the Washington Post attack this university, this awesome team of young women I have, or me without a fight. I've hired the best defamation law firm in the country, and I will sue the Washington Post if they publish a false story about me. Not many people are in a position to hold these kind of journalists accountable, but I am, and I'll do it. That's all I'm going to say about this right now. And now I'm going to get back to talking about my basketball team and winning this game tomorrow.
All right. Where do I go from here? Strong words, very strong words from Kim Mulkey there. She was very scripted. Very, very scripted. She had about 3 pages of notes she was scrolling through. Usually when you feel very strongly about something, you may not have to go off script, but that was very scripted. I do admit this is insane timing. Right as you're getting into the NCAA tournament, you're getting into a second round game, this thing pops up and she feels like she needs to speak on it. And for her to say it's, you know, I'm not going to get distracted. It's not going to work, buddy. It's 100% a distraction. Like you wouldn't have spoke on it if it wasn't a distraction. Now, also, I think, and I say I think, I understand the point she's trying to make. I think I do. Sometimes in this world, news organizations, media members publish stories and discuss things from a particular point of view. It's not always the positive point of view. It may be from one side. But guess what? If the things coming from that side are true, they're true. And you cannot do a thing about them. And as a college coach, he wants to say, oh, well, you're ignoring all the positivity. As a college coach, women's basketball coach, your job is to take care of your players, lead them, set a good example, and make them better as young women. So all that positive you're speaking of, it's kind of, you know, built into the job. It's what you're supposed to do. Hence why it's not amplified. Hence why you don't get a pat on the back for every player you put into the WNBA, for every national championship you win. You were hired by these places to go do those things. Now, on the other hand, the negative stuff, it's amplified because it's the opposite of what your goal is as a coach. If you're bullying, harassing, holding people's voices down like she did with Brittany Griner that I'll get to in a second, if there's misconduct within your program, that's amplified because it is counterintuitive to the job that you actually hold. So you want to talk about getting all this positive pub, you're supposed to do those things. All the negative stuff is not in your job description. You're not supposed to harass, bully, and do these things. And here's another thing. I can respect...
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Her right to try and protect herself. Now, with that being said, until I know what she's actually protecting herself from, it's really damn hard for me to assume that she can actually win a litigation battle with the Washington Post. Because one, good news organizations like the Washington Post, they will get sensitive stories and they'll write sensitive stories and they'll get negative comments from people in the orbit of those stories. But you know what they do with them? They review them and review them and review them and review them for vulnerability. They know that they can get sued for a false story, for a libelous comment. So, especially with this threat out, this story, if published, is probably going to be bulletproof. It'll probably be untouchable because they will have reviewed it and reviewed it and reviewed it to make sure that they cannot on the back end, have Kim Mulkey come after them. And then this is the second part. Libel is a big thing when you talk about media law and going after, you know, news organizations. You can go after news organizations for libel. But libel for public figures requires you to prove real and intentional malice. You have to prove that the Washington Post meant to go after you and hurt you directly. And, oh, yeah, it has to be fabricated almost completely. And the Washington Post will not have fabricated comments and quotes from disgruntled players. They will be very real. And then here's the other part of it. The Washington Post doesn't have to look far for bad things about Kim Mulkey. Kim Mulkey has a very strained relationship with her best player of all time, Brittany Griner. Brittany Griner in 2013 was a feature story for ESPN. She talked about being afraid to be her true self at Baylor. She's a lesbian woman. She's very proud of it. But she was afraid to be herself because Kim Mulkey wanted to be a good recruiter, and she felt that accepting things like that would hurt her on the recruiting trail, that type of thing. But Brittany Griner has spoken up about it. She was also, in that same story, there was an example of Kim Mulkey telling her to wear long sleeves because she wanted to hide her tattoos. She wanted to hide Brittany Griner's tattoos because she thought that would hurt her in recruiting. And then, let's not forget 2022. Brittany Griner was locked up for 10 months in a Russian prison for having weed, for having THC. And someone asked Kim Mulkey if she has made a comment on it, and she gave three words on the entire situation. This is Brittany Griner, who won three All-Americans unanimously at Baylor, who was a two-time Player of the Year, who was the Defensive Player of the Year in the Big 12 two times in a row, who won a national championship for her. And Kim Mulkey gave her three words on being locked up in a Russian prison for 10 months. She said, "And you won't." Saying she hadn't said anything and will not plan on saying anything about Brittany Griner being locked up in Russia for 10 months. And by the way, when it comes to threatening reporters, having a strained relationship with the media, Kim Mulkey does this, right? She hates the media and hates anything that may put her in anything besides a positive, glowing light. In 2013, that same story I'm talking about with Brittany Griner was written by Katie Fagan. Katie Fagan did a phenomenal job with it. It was a great piece. It was very, you know, introspective look. You got to see inside the everyday life of Brittany Griner when she was at Baylor. And it made some critical points about Mulkey, like I've already mentioned. So Kim Mulkey allegedly tried to get Katie Fagan fired. And Katie Fagan put it out there to the media. She said, quote, "After we put out that story, Kim Mulkey believed that I had forced Brittany Griner to say this. And she told the higher-ups at ESPN that I needed to be fired for this. She called the higher-ups and told them that I should be fired." And that's the end of the quote. That's all she put on it. So she wrote a story, a true story, from Brittany Griner's point of view, a former player that did great things for Kim Mulkey. And because it made Kim Mulkey look bad, Kim Mulkey tried to get this reporter, Katie Fagan, fired. And heck, let's not forget at the beginning of 2024, remember how aggravated she was at the media that had the gall to ask why Angel Reese, one of the most known players in college basketball, was not playing and was out. And there was rumors of suspension. She gets asked those questions. She was aggravated. She was mad that the media even had the audacity to ask why Angel Reese wasn't on the floor. So this just fits into her playbook. It's been consistent through the years. And if she does try to get this defamation law firm, tries to press litigation against the Washington Post if they release this story, one, I don't think it'll work. And two, it's just going to add negative publicity to her. It's counterintuitive to what she thinks is the real problem here. So I saw this, and I think Kim Mulkey's missing the mark. I think she's getting distracted from what's actually happening right now with the NCAA tournament, where she has to potentially lead this LSU team to a repeat of the national championship. But this is nasty stuff, and it's not new. It's not new when it comes to Kim Mulkey.
I just think it's odd to try to call a story where you admit that they've been working on for 2 years a hatch job.
Like, and they apparently they've tried to
and
reach out.
And they've tried to reach out to you, and you then were like, it's ridiculous that they sent the questions. It's like, well, they've been trying to sit down with you for 2 years. So I don't know. I don't think you can call that a hatch job. It's just
a hatchet job. She is very much a fake news person. She's very much a person
I'm curious
that wants to always be in a positive, glowing light.
In my opinion,
as soon as she said this, I'm like, I need to go get a subscription to the Washington Post so I can read the damn story.
I think she did exactly the opposite of what she set out to do. Is now everybody is like, oh, whatever's going to be in that is going to be bad.
Yes.
And she brought more eyeballs to it.
It's hilarious that she wants to act like there's, you know, the defamatory things in there. If the things in there from former disgruntled players are true, that's not defamation. That's not libel. If they got these quotes, have ways to back up these quotes, whether it's by tape or by note, they're writing down notes, then defamation and libel in any litigation is not going to go Kim Mulkey's way. So it's just strange on all parts, but again, it fits Kim Mulkey to a T. This is what she does. She wants to always come out looking positive in this glowing light, when the reality of the situation is even her best player of all time, Brittany Griner, does not like her and felt as if she has been treated badly. Even when Brittany Griner returned home from Russia after those 10 months, they have not spoken a word to each other since. Is that not strange? That seems very, very strange. So I'm looking forward to see what the Washington Post publishes. I may have to go get a subscription. I think a lot of people are on that same boat. But Kim Mulkey, she feels like whatever's going to come out is going to be pretty inflammatory. And she's trying to get out ahead of it, however she knows how to. I don't think it'll work, but here we are. Here we are. Now we need to go ahead and transition into hour number two. We know how we lead off hour number two every single day on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Jeff Calkins will join next. We'll talk about this, the NCAA tournament, a little Tigers along the way. So stick around.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.